as we get ready to sing this morning, all right?
Echo back the ocean caves, first our King. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, caring he carried my sins far away, rising he justified. Out on a tree, it took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. The stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not. Far away, rising, he justified.
You all may be seated.
Well, that there's an opportunity to be something other than just what we were. That we can be something that we are in Christ now. Something renewed, something made new. It's a part of our story, the past, the things that defined us, but they're not the end of our story. They're not the complete story. There's more there than just that for us as Christians. One of the struggles I think we battle with individually and collectively is reminding ourselves that it was never about what we did or did not do. It was about what Christ has done. About his sacrifice, about his shed blood, about the fact that his promises are based solely on that sacrifice, not my sacrifice. And in that, we come to a place where we truly can rejoice in who God is making us rather than constantly being dragged backwards by what we made ourselves. Too often our history is left too much in our future. We are constantly reevaluating ourselves off of things that happened rather than things that will happen. Scripturally, we should be looking more ahead. And maybe in that is why we have such a struggle sometimes with the parts of Scripture that we're going to talk about today. Paul is praying for his congregation, the people he's writing to be strengthened, but to be strengthened for a specific purpose. There's a reason he wants them to be strengthened, for the Spirit to come even more into their lives, and it's so that Christ may dwell in their hearts. You know, a lot of people, particularly church people, have Christ dwelling in their mind. But it needs to dwell in our hearts. If it doesn't dwell in our hearts, it won't compel us to much of anything. We've used this analogy before, but we all, I think, probably everyone in this room would admit that we believe that if you eat right and exercise, you will maintain healthy weight. But just because we know that does not mean that we do that. And in Christianity, we have much the same disconnect. We can go to church all of our lives and only ever gain a head knowledge of Christ. And in that, we see no change, no visible change, no emotional change, no theological or mental or even psychological change. Because it stays simply knowledge. A knowledge that doesn't make it to our hearts. Several different pastors have said people miss heaven by 18 inches, you know, from the distance from here to here. And that's very true. When you talk to people, the people that you talk to that are fervent for the Lord, that are on fire for God, can talk about a time where the knowledge became experience, or where they truly felt God dwelling in their heart. Some true heart change occurred for them. To me, it's the difference in my own story between I've told the story before, but I have a Bible in my office that says I was saved in 1987. Well, I had a slight knowledge of Christ in 1987. I experienced Christ in 2004. We need to experience Christ. When we do, all of a sudden, tons of things change in our lives. And apart from that, we have a knowledge that never produces much of anything. So we need to be sure that when we're helping people, even teaching people as a pastor, I put the quote on the internet earlier, but it's part of our message today, is my prayer for you guys, my heart for you guys is that you would go from knowing him to experiencing him. You need to not only know about the love of Christ, you need to experience it. It only happens one way, and that's when Christ dwells in your heart. Otherwise, it's all hyperbole. It's all hypotheticals. Well, if this happened, then this is true. You realize we are ideological people. If any time in history should have ever taught us this, our current time in history should teach us this fact. We love a good idea. We love it. And if it rallies us to do things, we love it even more. But it's still just an ideal. It's just an idea here, not here. And as a result, much of our ideology tends to kind of fade over time. Talk to an awful lot of Christians. What's the same thing they fight? It fades over time. And oftentimes it's because we have an idea of Christ without an experience of Christ. So my prayer today is the same prayer as Paul, that we would be strengthened in the Holy Spirit in such a way that we not only know of the love of Christ, but we experience the love of Christ. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to read our scriptures. It'll be Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. If you've downloaded the Faith Life app, you can go to that our group page, and you can even follow along the slides right on your phone so that you can read them easier or see them. It'll take you to the scriptures I'm going to read. It'll do all of that for you. So if you have that already, do that. If you don't have it, you can download it after the sermon. If I start seeing all kinds of requests to join up here, I'm going to know you're not listening to me. So wait till after the sermon, then search for Faith Life. But I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll read our scriptures. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are in such a strange time, such a divided time. Lord, we have all kinds of different ideas, all kinds of different knowledge and sources of knowledge and places that are trying to input information into this brain of ours. Lord, I pray that today you help us to strip away some of the distraction. But more than that, Lord, I pray that what we talk about today doesn't just become more information that gets crammed into our brain. Help us, Lord, to take it to heart, to see what it is that you have done, to love who we are in you, and you because it's even possible for us to be that person. Lord, I pray today that we are strengthened in the Spirit, that we do allow Christ to dwell in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that today's message helps us to see that connection needs to be made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture, like I said, starts out in verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." He's going to pray. You know, this would have been an interesting statement because back then, even in Jewish circles, it was more common to pray standing up. That act of submission would have been just something in and of itself. That would have been considered quite a statement. "I will bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." You know, we celebrate Father's Day next weekend. But in this particular passage, we need to remember that our Heavenly Father is above all of those things. And every family in heaven and on earth is named because of God. We are all God's children. It's part of the reason why we know that lives matter. "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Not just simply that we would know about it, that something inside of us would be strengthened, something would be given power through it, to really experience God, to experience him in a way that brings about change, that brings about emotion, that brings about a reaction, a visceral reaction, a readable reaction, something we see. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's part of the reason why our mission statement says a family of believers grounded in faith and committed to serve. It's from this passage. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, being started, you've been planted, now you've been grounded, you've been surrounded by the knowledge of Christ. You have it all around you, in your head. You come to church, you get it inundated in you, you see it posted, you everything. It's around you. You are rooted and grounded in it. But you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Why does he say that? Because it needs to surpass knowledge. It's not enough to simply know. There's more to Christ than that. He's better than that. Not just knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's pretty amazing how Paul makes this impassioned plea here. And he's surrounded by controversy. He's surrounded by chaos. He's in prison, and he's writing this hoping that they're strengthened in Christ, that Christ becomes real and tangible within them. It was a great prayer for us to pray for our society right now, to be praying that Christ would actively move in the hearts and minds of his people. There was a quote the other day I saw posted that said, to try to reform society without Christ is like rearranging the furniture in a burning building. That's very true. But what we are trying to do as a society right now is solve our problems by making society fair. Or by making society safe. It cannot be found in society. We can find safety, security, we can find real reform, change from the inside out, renewal of the mind. We can find all those things in Christ, but we will not find them in society. So we have a lot of different debates going on in our country, and they're interesting debates. They're fun to listen to and agonizing to listen to all at the same time. It's like golf. We played golf yesterday, and I told somebody this is the most maddening game I've ever played in my life. When you hit the ball well, it's like, man, this is the greatest game in the world. And then you hit one wrong hit, and it's like, oh, this is the worst game in the world. I mean, it's a maddening, maddening game, and society is a little like that. When everything goes well, we love it. When it starts to shake or has problems, but we instantly want to turn it on its head, thinking that if we revise it, it will become perfect. There is no perfect society. There's no perfect people. We're not perfect, so we're going to make imperfect systems. What we try to do is make the least imperfect system that you can make. We have to turn to Christ to find perfection. We have to turn to the Word of God to find absolute truths rather than relative truths. We have to give our hearts over to being not conformed to the world around us, but transformed by the inner working of the Spirit. Paul makes an impassioned plea here. That's why he says he kneels when standing was the normal position in culture. He submits himself to God. He says the phrase before, which is a face-to-face proposition. He says, I kneel before the Father, meaning right before the Father. He's making an impassioned plea on the part of believers and of the church at Ephesus. He truly regards God as Father and has spent several verses hoping the Ephesians will do the same. Everything that we have talked about from 1 till right here in chapter 3 are all trying to build in us this experience of Christ, not simple knowledge of Christ. To understand who we are in Him, what has occurred in our lives, what truly has happened because of Christ and His impact in our lives. Calls Him Father, head of the household, which is why He's every family is named. Paul did not want to simply write about the love of God. He didn't want to write just something flowery that would help people to, like a poem, fall in love with an ideal. He wanted something more than that. He wanted the Ephesians to experience and know this love. You know, sometimes as a pastor, sometimes as a teacher, even sometimes as a father or a husband, I can resort to, I just want them to know these things. I want them to know facts. I am 100% sure that my daughter could probably point to multiple times in her life where I have tried to cram knowledge into her head and never once trying to get it to her heart. I just thought if I could get it into her head, it will make a big difference. Like it made a big difference in mine. It made very little difference in mine until I experienced the love of Christ. The day I surrendered my life to Christ, the reason why I could not contain the weeping part of my being was because there was such an emotional release of knowing this love, that there was actually some being in the world that loved me despite all the junk I had done, all the bad things that I had done. Some person actually still loved me for that. Some being. Christ. You know, we search all of our lives looking for people that will love us in spite of ourselves. It's easy to love people that we like everything about. I don't know about you, but I have yet to meet one person in my life that I like everything about. Nor have I ever met one person in my life that liked everything about me. Until I met Christ. And when I met Christ, I experienced a love far beyond anything I had ever seen in people. In my life, it was heartbreaking and heart mending all at the same time. This is the maddeningness of golf, except in my heart. I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry because I had experienced a love I had never felt before. And my prayer is that you have experienced that kind of love, because Lord, have mercy on us if we have sold the gospel so short that you only need to know of Him and not experience Him. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23 says this, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. It was never meant to be a simple knowledge. We're to experience Christ. Experience salvation. Experience redemption. Experience love. And we have reduced it too often to simply knowing. It reminds me of a show back years ago. Some of you will know this show, some of you won't, but there was a Friends episode where they talked about, do you love somebody, or do you know somebody, or do you... And the point was, there's a difference between know and then really knowing. And that really knowing means you've actually experienced it. It's not just a chocolate ice cream is really good. You have tasted chocolate ice cream, and you know it to be good. That's why Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience him. Not just know about him. It's not a set of ideals. We don't worship a set of ideals. We worship a God who can be and wants to be experienced. That's why he came to earth. Otherwise, he could have just stayed up there and spoke platitudes. He desired fellowship with us, relationship with us. It's the reason why we still feel a little bit empty, even when we gather like this and we can't properly fellowship. We're a people with a heart, an image inside of us of God, and God's desire is to fellowship with his people. And our desire is to fellowship with one another. Love like that. Love that says it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. We talked about last week that there's this aspect, this rallying cry, this uniting portion of the church that is Christ. That is how we get along with one another. It's not because you like everything about me. It's not because I like everything about you. It's because we both worship. We both experience the same Christ. And because we're drawn to that same experience over and over again, we find commonality. That's how you unite. You cannot unite without commonality. And what we do is we will either exchange Christ as our experience, our common experience, for other things. And then that causes problems because they become human things. It's like, oh, we really like this type of thing. We've talked about before, you go way down on the list before you find theological or doctrinal issues for why churches split. It's because often they're finding their commonality in something temporal rather than infinite. They're finding their commonality in the type of music that they listen to, or the translation of the Bible that they read, or the way that they dress when they come to service, or the way they decorate their building, or the type of building that they... It's important that if we really want to see each other grow to this fullness of Christ, to really be filled by him, we have to desire over and over and over again to experience Christ together. And then we'll see how well we are drawn together. How much difference it makes when a heart desires than just when a head does. Colossians 1:9-13 says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved sons. He's not doubting their faith when he talks about these things in Colossians, Ephesians, when he talks about them in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. He's not doubting their faith. He is praying that God would solidify and confirm their faith by moving their head knowledge to their heart knowledge. That's what he's asking for here. He's asking us to stop thinking Christ is a good idea and start believing in Christ in our hearts. That is essentially moving from an immature spiritual Christian to a fully mature spiritual Christian. That's what he's asking for. He's not saying they have no faith. He's saying, God, please strengthen this small seed of faith that is there and grow it. And it grows by experience, by encountering God. One of the best books I ever read was called that, Encountering God, and it was Henry Blackaby wrote it, and it was Experiencing God, actually, was the name of it. But it's a phenomenal book, and the whole point of the book was experience him. Don't simply know of him. His desire was for his preaching to have brought them to a place of truly experiencing the love of God, the grace of God, and the salvation of God. But he would not have been happy if it had only related in them knowing more about him, but it not producing anything in them. I have read over and over and over again over the last few months about arguments among pastors and leaders about who should meet and when they should meet and how they should meet. And in all of those things, if we're not careful, it becomes very utilitarian. Please understand that the reason why we opened back as a church is not so you could come to this building. It was so that we could collectively experience God. It was so that we could glorify and worship him and equip ourselves to go out and make him known to the world. We talked about that a few weeks ago. If we simply wanted to deliver knowledge, we could just do that through video or something else. I need to experience God through you, and you need to experience God through me. That's the reason why we are a congregation. It's the reason why we come together. Because we find commonality in the person of Christ, in the presence of Christ, in the love of Christ, and in the salvation of Christ. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He wanted them to look inside and see Christ there. And when we, part of our prayer process should always be to ask God to reveal things in our lives that we need to shed or get rid of. But some of it should be introspective. Lord, how much of you is showing through? How much of you, Lord, is present in my day-to-day conversations? How much of you is present? Because just like it says with money, you know, where your money or where your heart is, your money will also be. Oftentimes when where our beliefs are, where our true experiences are. Our heart will direct that. And if we have found more pleasure in our worldly things, that will be what shows through more. We need to be aware of that. We need to be willing to take an honest assessment of where we are as a person in Christ and see whether or not something needs to change. And I can tell you, as a fellow redeemed sinner, something always needs to change. I have not been glorified yet. I have not been made complete. I am a process that is being worked out, which means there are always parts of me that tend to take precedent over Christ if I'm not careful, if I'm not introspective, if I'm not submissive to the Word of God. Ephesians 1:18 says, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints?" When trouble or struggle come, to know that Christ is there. That's what he desires for them. That's what I desire for you. As much as I am, desire a vaccine as much as anybody probably does for coronavirus, ultimately my faith and my trust is in Christ and not in a vaccine. As much as I desire social equality for all races, my hope is not in those things. My hope must be in Christ. Because when trouble or struggle come, it will usually be against those human constructs that we've put around us. Something bigger than that has to be there. Adrian Rogers once said that if we cure all disease, if we remove all addiction, if we clothe all the naked, feed all the hungry, adopt all the orphaned, and we do all these things and never tell them about Christ, all we have done is made the world a better place to go to hell from. We will have essentially moved the furniture in a burning building. It's important that we remember that us as a church, if we want to find peace or unity or joy in each other, we find it because we find our commonality in our experience in Christ. If we want to impact our society larger than inside the walls of our church, we will do that by experiencing and finding our commonality in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I pray that that is your mantra as much as it was Paul's. It's a defining statement of who he was and what he believed, who he had experienced. Christ was dwelling in him, and he desired for Christ to be dwelling in the Ephesians. And I desire for Christ to be dwelling in Fairlawn Baptist Church. As you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before them. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which he has proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15:1, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you were to be believed in vain." Then they went out from us, but they were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. He was preaching about the fact that there are plenty of people sitting in our congregations on a normal basis that have heard the gospel message, but they have yet to experience the gospel message. So when trouble comes, they look at something other than Christ. And when that something other than Christ comes, they are drawn away. To combat that is to help people experience Christ. Because just like Hebrews says, it is impossible for one who has been enlightened, for someone whose heart has truly been impacted by Christ, to fall away. There's nothing worse as a pastor than to realize someone that you saw such promise in, such gifting in, and invested yourself in, would turn out to have no relationship with the Lord because all I had done was give them knowledge and not experience. I pray your inner being is being renewed and strengthened. You will need Christ for that to occur. You will need him in your heart, not simply in your head. If you want to see your inner being being renewed and strengthened, you need Christ for that. I pray you will be rooted and grounded in his love. And in order for that to occur, you will need Christ in you for that. I pray that you will comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of Christ's love. And you will need Christ in you for that. Why? Why do I pray these things for you? Why did Paul pray these things for them? I want you to be filled with the fullness of God. I want you to experience him, not just have some faint knowledge of him. I want you to experience his love, experience his strength, experience stability in the one that I call Savior, who is Jesus Christ. I want you to seek your safety in the Lord. But you will need Christ in you for that. The reason that he prays this prayer that Christ may dwell in their hearts is because he knows the struggles. He knows the trials. He knows the things that are going to happen that are going to derail them right and left throughout the history of the church even. And these inspired words were written to them like they are to us, that if we want stability in tough, horrible, trying times, we have to have Christ in us for that. That he must dwell in our hearts. We were just talking this morning in the hallway about the struggles and the trials and the way they portray the church in right now. This different persecutions that are going on as far as that goes. And like I told them, you realize that this is not a blip. The blip was the 200 years that we worshiped freely in the country of America, because it has never been easy for Christians in a society that rejects Christ. And we shouldn't expect it to be. And if we continue to look for our stability in our government, in our systemic policies, if we look for real renewal, real transformation in anything other than Christ, if we try to reform our society in the the absence of Christ, we will simply be moving, burning furniture, furniture in a burning building. Find your security in Christ. Taste and know that the Lord is good. Experience the love of Christ. Don't simply know about it. And if you want to do all of those things, you will need Christ in you for that. As we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to think about where your life is with Christ, where you're at in the way that you have worshiped Him. Are you worshiping Him from your head, or are you worshiping Him from your heart? Are you placing your trust in Him or in the world around you? Where are you finding your security from? Where are you growing in? If it's anything other than Christ, you should take this time during this invitation and repent of that. Ask God to forgive you of it. He will. The video even talked about that earlier. We confess our sins. He is righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we move on in the Lord, seeking to experience Him more and more and more. But maybe you're here and you know you just never had that experience with Christ. You've never had anything other than a head knowledge of God. Well, then I would encourage you to come forward and pray. Pray with me or pray with someone and ask them how you can experience Christ in your life. So as we go to our time of invitation, this altar will be open. You can come forward and pray up here. If you want to pray with me, just come straight to me. I won't come to you unless you ask me to, so that we can observe the distances the way we need to. But please do, if you want to come up and pray, pray for our society. Pray for our country. Pray for the fact that right now there needs to be some logic somewhere that begins some kind of an actual productive conversation. We need to pray for those people. But we need to pray beginning with ourselves and then out to them. If Christ is not in your heart, He won't be in theirs from your witness either. You're going to go out and misrepresent it. We don't have a great set of ideals. We have a great Savior. We need to remember that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You. I thank You that this morning, despite everything else that is going on in our world, I can still have safety and security in You. Lord, that I can trust You no matter what it is that goes on around me. Lord, I pray for our society, our country, our people that are torn up and hurting over all kinds of different issues, Lord, the healing they need is in You. Do things need to change? Yes, they do. But they still won't find the happiness and the joy they're looking for apart from You. Lord, I pray that You are the answer they seek, and that we are the vehicle where they can experience that safety, that security, that salvation. Lord, help us to be a good gospel witness for You. Thank You, Lord, for Your indwelling Spirit that renews me in my heart, that reminds me constantly. Even when we sing certain songs, my heart cannot help but contain, it can barely contain the emotion of what it is that You have done, who You are. Lord, thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand with me, please.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for us. Savior, and life more abundant. wonderful things, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Lord, full in His wonderful things, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail.
This week, please give me a call. But let's go ahead and pray for offering. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the message that was spoke this morning. Father, we just ask that you be with this offering, because further your kingdom. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.